Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640, and they'll send you a couple of guys. So welcome back to another episode of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. It's been a fast week. It's been a busy week.
This is a thrill-packed adventure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, you're just a little too...
Speaking of thrill-packed...
I think you've had more coffee than I have this morning.
Speaking of thrill-packed adventures, why don't you tell us about your basement?
Oh, my. Well, if people, you know, like to think... there's some symbolism here. I do a lot of my writing in the basement. But being a blogger, I know that's stereotypical. But I own the basement, at least. And I only every once in a while blog in my pajamas. But we had a sewer line back up, and anyway, I'll leave the rest to your imagination. But
it's a big yuck.
Yeah, and having a crappy basement where I work and blog, that there's some symbolism there, I think, maybe. So anyway,
we won't go any further than that.
Had a sewer line collapse outside, and that's yeah. So we've actually been living in a hotel the last couple nights.
Well, and then you had car trouble too, with at least one car, maybe two.
Oh, my
right?
My daughter had to have her car service, not a big deal. But
yeah, but I thought Cheryl said something that there was another car too that you know.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. That's news to you. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I hope not. Gosh, maybe I need to, was this on Facebook this morning? I need to check. So
you don't need any more
Brian,
trouble, no, right?
Brian's on top of my life better than I am. So
somebody's got to keep track of you, buddy.
I know.
It must be my week to keep an eye on you.
Probably. Yeah, I need keepers all over the place. So your daughter's coming back from Rhode Island?
Yes.
For your mother's 90th birthday bash.
Yes, it's a 90th birthday party. And she doesn't know it, but I'm bringing my daughter back from Rhode Island for the party.
Awesome.
So tomorrow morning, which full disclosure here is we pre-record the show, as everybody knows. So tomorrow morning is Saturday, and my daughter will mysteriously appear in my mother's kitchen tomorrow morning, and it's going to be a gas.
Great.
So we're excited. We're tickled to see my daughter as well, but we're especially tickled to be able to surprise my mother on this particular occasion.
Great. I take it you're disappointed with the world, how the World Series.
Well, look, you know, we talked here a week or two ago. Neither one of us are big baseball fans, but I am an American League fan to the extent that I am a baseball fan.
Okay.
And it was really cool to see the Royals do what they did. A wild card team sweeps the playoffs, comes into the series. And coming down to the wire, I mean, it was anybody's ball game at the bottom of the ninth, and so they came up a little short, but it was still pretty cool.
Good, yeah, it was a good series. So, if you're into that sort of thing,
yeah
I'm not so much.
Yeah,
all right, you know, give me college
folks,
football.
He's a wrestler. Remember, we talked about this in the past. He's been dropped on his head as a child. You know, a hockey puck hit him squarely between the eyes. You know, it is what it is.
I don't have a good segue for this. I'd like to introduce our guest. We have a special guest on the line.
We started talking about him being dropped on his head, and all of a sudden he says, "Well, let's get to the interview."
Yeah. We have Sarah Matross on the line. She's with Samaritan's Purse, the Upper Midwest region. She's a media associate for them. Thank you for joining us, Sarah. We'd like to.
Good morning, Sarah.
We're having Sarah.
Good morning.
We're having. I'm off my game now that Brian is talking about me being dropped on my head. So, we wanted to talk to you about Operation Christmas Child. It's coming up.
Yeah.
With the delivery week, anyway. First of all, let's just ask you the basic question. So a lot of our listeners probably are not aware. What is Operation Christmas Child?
Yeah, Yeah, well, thanks for having me this morning. I'm excited to talk with you guys about Operation Christmas Child. We're a project of Samaritan's Purse, kind of a subset, and we are actually the world's largest Christmas project of our kind. We got started in 1993, and since then, we've delivered gift-filled shoeboxes to more than 113 million children
wow.
in more than 150 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, we've had a wide impact.
Excellent. So, how many kids on each year do you typically average?
Yeah. Well, last year, 2013 total, we actually delivered more than 9 million shoeboxes, so 9 million children. And this year, our goal is just over 10 million.
Awesome. And
so that's a lot of boxes.
Yeah, that is a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
And with you being part of the Upper Midwest, are you based in Minnesota?
I am, yep. Our regional office is based in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my wife and I have had a chance to go up to the distribution center there and help, you know, look through boxes and put fillers in if needed.
Yeah,
how many boxes normally go through your region?
Well, last year we had just under 500,000 boxes that were processed at this processing center in Minneapolis. And this year our goal is to process over 500,000 boxes.
So, Sarah, how many distribution centers are there across the United States?
We have 9 distribution centers in the U.S. that process boxes. So we're 1 of 9.
And then do you have some abroad as well?
We do. They're smaller. We do have a few other countries that actually process boxes. I know Canada does some boxes. But the majority of the boxes come from the United States.
Great. So
it's mostly this. Yeah.
How can people get involved? I mean, what goes into a box?
Yeah. So basically, the basic concept of Operation Christmas Child is that you can take a shoebox, and it doesn't have to be a special shoebox. It just has to be your standard shoebox size. And anyone can just fill it with some basic items to give to a child. So you're going to have the option of what age and what gender you want to pack for. So you could pick like a 2 to 4 year old girl, and then you can put in items that you think would be tangible to give as a gift. So a lot of times people do a mix of fun items like toys, games, and some hygiene items. Mm-hmm. So people put in toothbrushes, toothpaste. So basically the concept is you pack your box and then you can actually go online to SamaritansPurse.org. You can plug in your zip code and find your nearest drop-off location. And then during the week of November 17th to the 24th, you can just drop your box off at your local church or community center, just whatever location is in your area that's going to be serving as our collection center.
Great. So what can't go into boxes? I know we had to take a lot of stuff out when we were up in Bloomington, people putting in things that weren't necessarily appropriate.
Yeah, we ask that you don't put in any war-related toys as we're shipping these boxes. We also ask that you don't put any liquids in, because again, we don't necessarily know where these boxes are going to be going, and we got to ship them overseas, and so any type of liquid can break and just get messy. So we ask that you don't put that in there, and then we also ask that you don't put any food-related items in, because again, these boxes are traveling overseas, and it's not going to be able to last. So no perishables.
So liquids, no, but toothpastes and other ointments are okay?
We do accept toothpaste, but that's the only thing we accept is kind of a liquid-based.
I was just trying to think when you said ointments. I'm going to put some Preparation H in there.
Oh, dear.
Just stick with toothpaste.
Okay, all right. So no ointments, just toothpaste.
Yep.
No Bengay or anything like that, Brian.
No,
so.
No.
So, I will resist the temptation to respond.
I had to reply to the being dropped in my head comment. So, so what?
Are you implying that I'm old again?
No, never. When you drop, what happens after you drop off the box at the collection center?
Yeah, so basically what happens after you drop off at a collection center is these boxes are then collected, they're put in semis, and they're relayed to our processing centers. So we have 9 processing centers in the U.S., as I said, but we actually have over 4,000 drop-off locations across the whole country. And so these boxes are collected at the drop-offs. They're brought to the processing center. And then at the processing center, we actually give volunteers the opportunity to sort through all of these boxes and process them essentially before we send them overseas. And so another way to serve would actually be, and I know that you guys are in Iowa, but a lot of times people do make trips up here to volunteer at the processing center because it is really fun. So another way to get involved is actually sign up to volunteer at the processing center.
And those slots go fast, don't they?
They do go fast. We still have some daytime slots available. Processing starts for us on November 25th, and it'll run through probably the third week in December or whenever we finish. But you can also go online to SamaritansPurse.org and learn how to sign up at the Minneapolis Processing Center. And then from the processing center, we ship them overseas.
Great. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We've got Sarah Matras from Samaritan's Purse on the line with us talking about Operation Christmas Child. So what countries are the presents going to this year?
Yeah, well, I have a list of countries that the Midwest, the upper Midwest boxes are going to be going to. So we just found out that we're going to be delivering boxes processed in Minneapolis. We're going to be delivering those boxes to Belize, India, Tanzania, Trinidad, and Uganda. So those are our five countries this year that the boxes are going to be going to.
Great. And that's just for the upper Midwest boxes.
Yeah, that's just for the upper Midwest. And those are where the boxes are going to be going
and
to this year.
Is there a way for people to track where their gift ends up?
Yeah, actually, that's what I'm going to be doing this year is I'm packing boxes with my brother, and we're going to track where our boxes are going because it's a really fun way that if you do it with a family or if you do it with your kids, you can say, okay, we're going to figure out where this box goes and then kind of learn about the country. Or it just even allows you to kind of pray for that child more specifically if you end up knowing where your box is going to end up. If you pay, so we ask that every box comes with a $7 shipping fee. So you can actually put this money into the box, just in an envelope, put your $7 in there. But if you pay your shipping online, you're actually able to track your box. So they'll just send you an email to your inbox every time that your shoebox enters another country. And so you can kind of track where your box goes, which is really fun.
That is really cool. I didn't anticipate that you'd be able to, you know, drill down, if you will, to that level. That is absolutely cool.
Yeah. So that's just fun. And it's actually, it's kind of easier on both ends. It's easier for us when people pay their shipping online. We really appreciate that. And it's also really fun to get to know where your box goes.
Sarah, do you have any resistance from some of these countries when you folks want to get involved and ship all this stuff over there? I mean, has that historically been a problem?
I think that we have a really unique way that we are able to get into countries because we're offering gift aid. And so we're coming in with simply shoeboxes, and we're offering them as gifts. So a lot of times we're actually able to get into some very sensitive countries. Because we're offering gifts and we're offering them to children. So a lot of times it does open doors. We do have countries that we are still unable to get into, but we actually have a presence in a lot of sensitive and a lot of closed countries.
Great. And one thing that's, I think it's important for our listeners to understand is not just the process of giving a gift, but that's a great thing. It's a great way to show Jesus' love in a practical way. But it's also, there are gospel tracts that go in each shoebox as well, correct?
Yeah, that's actually part of the processing center process is that we put basically a little gospel message with some scripture verses and like a clear message of the gospel, and we put them in those boxes and we put it in the language of the countries that it's going to, so that it's going to be in their native language, so they're going to be able to read that. And so every box that goes out has the gospel message along with it, which is really exciting.
Great, which is, especially considering that these shoeboxes are going into sensitive countries that wouldn't ordinarily allow the gospel in, or at least your traditional missionary in.
Yeah.
Well, going back to my earlier question, has that been a problem in some of these sensitive areas then, Sarah? The inclusion of the tract?
I mean, I think that, again, it goes as a gift. It goes to a child. There have been instances where we've actually had to step out of a country because of that. But I think for the most part, Samaritan's Purse has built really, really good relationships with countries that are close to the gospel, and they're still allowing us to come in, and they're still allowing us to give gifts. So
that
I'd say for the
outstanding.
Most part,
that's outstanding.
Yeah. And we just have a couple minutes left. Is there? Can you quickly just share an impact story of how a child's life was changed through this?
Well, one of the stories right now that I think is really relevant and really exciting to me is that in December of 2013, we were able to distribute 65,000 boxes in the country of Iraq alone. And since then, we've actually delivered more than 3,000 shoe boxes to children who've had to flee because of ISIS violence, and they're in refugee camps. So these children are coming from Iraq and Syria, and we've actually been able to distribute more than 3,000 gifts to these children. And again, all of these shoeboxes come with the gospel message. So that's a really exciting way that we're able to be in a very closed area and a very hostile area. So
I wouldn't have thought for a moment that you could get away with that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's very exciting to me, and I think to a lot of the people who pack too.
And we are almost out of time, so just to recap how people can get involved and where they can go.
Absolutely. Just visit www.samaritanspurse.org for information on how to pack boxes and volunteer at your local processing center.
Great. We appreciate you, Sarah, coming on. This has been a special ministry for my wife and I. I highly encourage all of our listeners and readers at caffeinatethoughts.com to get involved and to give a gift. It's such a simple thing to do. And it's a way to, again, show God's love in a practical way, and where kids can hear the gospel message or read the gospel message.
Yeah, that's
and
incredible.
And some for the very first
time. Fantastic.
So, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're going to need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs.
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up, down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi. I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640. That's 490-2640. M&A Moving and Hauling, 490-2640. Or online at acoupleofguys.net.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hey, look here, this is Cy Robson, all right? Hey, I just packed my first shoebox for Operation Christmas Child, all right? When we was growing up, we was dirt poor. I wanted to help out with Operation Christmas Child because it has to do with kids, okay? And it brings great joy. I put in some little treats, some toys. With all that, I think the box was full. Oh, by the way, they will not let me send any fireworks.
Go to ShoeboxSci.com to find out how you can share God's love through Operation Christmas Child. That's ShoeboxSci.com.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. And on the line, we have a very special guest, Matt Hirama. Hopefully I pronounced that right. At Stonebrook Church in Ames. He's got some events going on at his church in the upcoming months that we brought him on to talk about. And
good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Matt. Thanks for joining Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thank you. And you did pronounce my last name correctly, which is impressive.
So awesome.
Well done.
Awesome. Well, that's a Dutch name, right?
It is. Very Dutch.
I would lose my Dutch street cred if I mispronounced that name.
Yeah, but he's Friesland Dutch, so I'm not sure that counts.
Well.
Hey, watch it.
Okay, now you're going to have to educate Mr. Vanderhart here on what Friesland Dutch is, Matt.
It's the most important province in the Netherlands, as far as I understand it.
The most important province.
I have to admit, I'm not entirely sure what province in Holland my family comes from, so...
You're probably not even Dutch. You probably just borrowed that last name someplace.
Well, if it's not Frieslandish, it doesn't matter, right? So,
I'll take your word on that.
I'm about as Friesland as you are, so let's not worry about it too much.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Matt, so you're pastor at Stonebrook Church.
Yes.
But in addition to that, I understand you've got a tent-making ministry.
That's right. Yeah, I own and direct a web agency in Ames here. We make really good websites for people all over the world, really, actually. We've got international clients as well, so I can say that now. That's a big part of what I do, 9 to 5. But yeah.
Tell us some of the well-known clients that you and I have discussed in the past that you've worked for.
Sure. Well, you know, my career takes me all the way back. If I get to include other aspects of my career, I worked for Desiring God Ministries for a number of years. Hmm. And prior to that, I actually worked for AOL for some top-ranking technology and lifestyle blogs, names you'd recognize there. Right now, we're doing work for the Banner of Truth Trust, which is a book publisher of all of the best books in Christian history. And all of them, all of the best. That seems like a rather blanket statement, but it's largely true. The works of John Owen, some of the great Puritans, a lot of Spurgeon, a lot of Martin Lloyd-Jones, those sorts of things. So those guys published those books.
Mm-hmm.
And we do work for a lot of other churches and organizations and even local businesses, too. So we kind of run the gamut there.
Yeah, and you've done work for, if I remember correctly, 10th Presbyterian in Philadelphia, and I think you've also done work for R.C. Sproul. And
R.C. Sproul Jr., I should specify.
Was Jr.? Okay.
Yeah, Sproul Jr. We did Sproul Jr.'s website. We did 10th Presbyterian's website. First Presbyterian in Jackson, Mississippi, which until lately was Ligon Duncan's church there. He's moved on to Reformed Theological Seminary now.
Impressive cred.
And what's the name of your firm?
It's called Mere Agency, M-E-R-E, agency.com. So give us a call.
Great. Yeah. So what are these conferences you have coming up?
Yeah, so at our church here, one of the interesting things about my tent-making career is that it's put me in touch with a lot of thought leaders and great authors and speakers and writers and even pastors out there. It's kind of given me opportunities to interact with them. And so I started thinking through, okay, I'm a pastor of a local church. My heart is for this congregation and for helping it. Also part of the church, largely in Ames, you know, how can we help bless the church in Ames here? So I thought, well, why not invite some of these guys to come speak on their areas of expertise? You know, I know there are local guys who are as smart as these men are on these topics even. But I thought, well, it's just kind of neat. There's some value to having a more high-profile speaker come in. You can unite more people underneath in the same area. You don't have the various denominational camps necessarily. That doesn't become as much of an issue when you have a higher-profile person come in. So this fall, we're running two workshops or conferences, not quite sure what to call them exactly. So I'm calling one a workshop and one a conference. The first one is...
He's hedging his bets.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You see which one does better, then that's what you go with in the future.
So the first workshop is on November 8th, it's a Saturday evening from 6 to 9. We're calling it the Thriving at College workshop with an author and speaker by the name of Alex Chediak, who wrote a book called Thriving at College, and another one called Preparing Your Teens for College. And so it's going to be kind of a more of a roundtable discussion. He's got a few talks, and then we're going to do a Q&A panel with him on the subject of just common mistakes that college students make, college students of faith, when they come in out of the church setting. We all know the 80% statistic, right?
Right.
A lot of young people lose or give up or abandon their faith in college for a lot of various reasons. And he's identified a number of really, I think, really insightful keys to why that happens, but not just a matter of abandoning your faith and keeping it, but also thriving in it. So those that don't abandon sometimes fail to thrive. So what are some reasons for that? So he's going to be addressing topics like spiritual growth, pursuing academic excellence, understanding your calling, understanding your vocation, issues of even dating and time management, things like that will all be covered, aimed at younger college students and upper class high school students and their parents. So the idea is helping parents prepare their teens to launch off into college and helping those that are in college to kind of thrive where they are. And I would say, too, there's maybe a third audience of anyone who's interested in ministering to either of these two groups as well. So, you know, youth pastors, other parents, other congregation ministers or congregation members who have a heart for these age groups. I think they'd all definitely be welcome, and I think they would get a lot out of it.
Great. So
that's the first one.
All right. Yeah, that's November 8th. And what time again?
November 8th, 6 to 9 p.m.
And how can someone sign up?
Yeah, so if you go to stonebrook.org/thriving, and there will be a registration link there for you. The prices are $5 for students. We tried to make it as affordable as we could while still bringing them in. $5 for students, $15 general admission for non-students.
And will the workshop be at the church then, Matt?
This one will be at Stonebrook Church.
Okay, good. So tell us about the second one. The,
second one
you're actually calling a conference, correct?
I am calling it a conference, and I think we're having more than one speaker, so it's going to be a little bit longer time span as well. And so we're bringing in Tim Challies, who probably a lot of your listeners would recognize from Challies.com. He's been blogging every day, literally, for the last 11 years now. And
I feel like I've blogged a long time, but he puts me to shame. That's...
He was one of the first, I think, in terms of Facebook bloggers.
Back when they called it web blogs.
Yeah. Web blogging.
Yeah.
Web blogging.
He was blogging when it wasn't cool.
Right. Before it was cool. That's right. So Tim Challies is going to come in with Matt Perman. I've gotten to know both of these guys. I worked with Matt Perman at Desiring God. He's become a friend. We actually do some consulting together at MIR. But Matt and Tim are both just really smart, really excellent, really wise in the area of technology, time management, and those sorts of issues. So my whole premise with this conference is that there's a huge need in this area of technology. Computers, phones, gadgets, all of these things, they seem like they kind of dominate our lives. They are everywhere around us. And you know the dangers they pose, not mm-hmm. only to our privacy in terms of security and credit cards and all of that, but maybe especially to our purity. With the ubiquity of pornography and everything else that's out there on the internet. So this conference is going to be, it's called Technology and the Glory of God. And the whole idea is how can we proactively and intentionally and wisely use these gadgets and this technology? How can we proactively, wisely, safely use it to advance the kingdom, to grow spiritually? So how can we harness these things that are good, that aren't inherently bad in and of themselves, but just provide all kinds of opportunity for sin? How can we help guard ourselves from the dangers, but also use it proactively to do much good in the world? So that's the whole premise of that.
Matt, tell us a little bit about some of the things that perhaps our listeners hadn't thought of with respect to technology that you guys will be talking about at the conference or that these guys will be talking about. That would be positives and spiritually uplifting and that sort of thing.
Sure. So you know, I think a lot of people, especially when you're thinking of technology from a spiritual mind, we tend to take what I would call a default negative view of technology. It swamps our time, it distracts our focus, it provides an avenue for various kinds of impurity and sin.
Other than that, it's great.
But other than that, and What I want to promote is what I would call a default positive view of technology. Technology in and of itself is a neutral. It's like money, right? It's like anything else. It's a tool. The problem is our hearts. The problem is not the technology. So, the one big question I'm really excited about is Tim's last message is going to be on guarding your home from pornography. Hmm. I think this is just a huge, ubiquitous problem for men and women alike. And not only a problem for men and women who are actively seeking it out, but I have four daughters, four small girls, and they are able now to type on the computer. And I found, my daughter accidentally typing in a misspelling of Google. And fortunately, that particular misspelling was rather benign. Mm-hmm. But I know that there are misspellings of other popular websites out there that are pornography that she could accidentally stumble across if I didn't have safeguards up in my home. So there are a number of things that can be done to shield your home safely from these sorts of things. But it's not just about shielding and locking things out or even just reporting, but I'm also a pastor, and pastors, the scriptures say, need to be above reproach. So if somebody were to accuse me of falling in pornography, which has been part of my past, I need to have something to show them actively that says, look at my record here, check up on me, proactively keep me safe, but not only that, but say, hey, look, I'm free from accusation here. So there are tools, there are ways of doing that that I think are useful to every congregation member, not just small children and pastors.
Exactly. So, there's a lot, Covenant Eyes comes to mind one, and there's a lot of good web filtering, even a lot of basically web wireless routers will even give parents the ability to filter out certain things, so no matter what they try to do on their computer, it doesn't matter because it's being filtered at the network level.
Right.
And just things too, being open, having accountability group and talking, having an open, honest conversation with your spouse and, being accountable to your spouse as well. And my wife knows she can go and check my history, and if my history is clear, as far as if it's wiped out, she knows. Okay, what's going on, and various things too. I have friends that ask me, tough questions too. So,
well, I actually think some of these things have gotten better over the years. I can remember 15 years ago, a pastor friend of mine set up a chat room in AOL. And it was a Reformed chat room. So you'd go there and you guys could, you could go back and forth on Reformed discussions. But what we noticed was, and we were all AOL users, you go into the chat room, and as soon as we did that, you'd get inundated by four or five emails that were sent out by porn websites.
Yeah.
Right.
So I actually think things have gotten better than they were once upon a time. But
I think that's definitely true, yeah.
At least as far as the spam's concerned, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the number of porn websites. No.
Well, no. But I'm just saying in terms of being able to, at least back in those days, I know I was without a clue on how to prevent some of this stuff.
Yeah. We got a minute left, so quickly tell us details for this conference and how people can sign up for that.
That's right. Technology and the Glory of God is going to be December 6th. It's going to be, that's another Saturday. It's afternoon and evening, 1 to 7 p.m. Dinner will be catered, and so that's part of the ticket price. And if you go to stonebrook.org, again, there will be a banner that you can click on. You'll be able to see that right away, how to get in and how to register for that. Tickets are, there's an early bird registration up through November 24, so you got a few weeks left on that. And the price is $25 for adults and $10 for students. We're making it, again, super cheap for students. Barely covering the cost of catered meals, as a matter of fact.
And that was Matt Hierma, and this is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio.
Thanks, Matt.
And we'll be back.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Nelly Chikwanda from Zambia, Africa. I have been involved in Operation Christmas Child for over 10 years, and I never get tired of seeing our children in Zambia receive your shoebox gifts. Packing a shoebox is simple, and in the hands of God, it becomes a powerful tool. Thank you, and please keep packing these beautiful shoebox gifts.
Visit SamaritansPurse.org or call 800-809-3882.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website, Conservative Christian Constitutional Viewpoint, without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're going to need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs.
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640. That's 490-2640. M&A Moving and Hauling, 490-2640. Or online at acoupleofguys.net.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, and we are back to an action-packed 10 minutes of news that you can use. This is our
action-packed.
Action-packed, like yes. This is the time we talk about different news items going on in the this week. And Brian, your first offering for us is the Brittany Maynard story.
Well, yes, Brittany Maynard is a young lady who's got apparently some type of cancer,
brain cancer,
stage four cancer, which and I can't even pronounce it. But the reason she's in the news is she said, I'm not going to deal with this on November 1st. I'm going to commit suicide. Hmm. And then subsequently, she appears to be having some second thoughts. I mean, I'm not saying that she still won't go through with it, but it sounds as if she's maybe rethinking that and that she may wait a little longer.
Well, she's saying, I still feel good enough and I still have enough joy and I still laugh and smile with my family and friends enough that it doesn't seem like the right time right now. So
it's merely a matter of timing for her, though.
Which is that was the first problem with just putting an arbitrary date on something like that. But even outside of that, it's I, you know, it's her statement,
me.
And I say, I understand having had family members who are terminally ill, the focus that happens, but a lot of times you need to have a shift where you're not thinking so much about yourself as you're thinking about those around you. And the problem with suicide is that it is fundamentally a selfish act.
Right.
Right. Regardless of circumstances.
And we've talked about this before relative to this issue. There's never a good reason to do this. Never.
No.
There's always an alternative.
Exactly. I mean, I get that she's going to be in a lot of pain. She's saying she's describing some seizures and medical issues that she's had in recent weeks, and that has to be horrifying. And my heart does go out for her. I couldn't imagine being her husband going through that journey with her. I mean, because the relatives I've had to terminally ill, you know, they were more my grandmother and an aunt, and so it wasn't like my spouse. And that's hard. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy to have to go through something like that.
It's not a matter of not having sympathy for the person's illness. That's not the question.
Exactly. And I know brain cancer especially is really, really bad. But the thing is, you live your life to the fullest up until the very end.
Right. And look, suicide, even under these circumstances, It's just a place that we as Christians cannot go.
No. And
these are matters that are in the hands of God.
Exactly. And that, yeah, and that's exactly right. It's God who puts on us our expiration date, so to speak. I mean, he's the one that when the timing is right, he will send us home. He already knows when that is for each and every one of us. Isn't that a glorious thought?
Well, we were talking earlier, there were days past in which we really didn't, as a society, have a way to help people with medications like we have now.
Exactly.
I mean, it hasn't been that long ago. We did not have all these delightful drugs that can make you comfortable in these kinds of situations. But people refused to do this because they had a principial objection to taking their life. They just wouldn't even go there. It never entered their minds. You just don't commit suicide.
Exactly. And, hospice care is my grandmother experienced hospice care, and it was great to have that. It was a good place for her to be in her final weeks. I think she was there for 3 weeks before she passed away. And they were caring. It was a comfortable environment. It was a place where family can come and go easily to visit. And we got to spend some additional time with her. And, I think that's important, that family has that type of closure. And, of course, we want to see pain, managed. I'd hate to see somebody in, absolute suffering without having any type of, medical attention whatsoever.
One of my best friends had a wife that had breast cancer that metastasized to her brain, and it was nasty. And down the stretch, after everybody knew that the battle was over, those last couple of weeks, in the mornings, she'd wake up and she'd be lucid, and she would have these few moments with her husband, and he knew he couldn't stretch them out too far because he had to give her pain meds.
Yeah.
But then she was gone then until the following morning.
Yeah.
And it had to be a tough thing, but I'm confident that he wouldn't trade. Certainly, he wouldn't have traded those moments that he had every morning those last couple of weeks with his wife, knowing she was going to be gone soon. He wouldn't have traded those away for the world. And knowing her as I did, she was quite willing to patiently wait for the Lord to call her home.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, they talk about dying with dignity, and what's undignified about waiting to the end and selflessly giving your family more time? That phrase just
really... It's a chance to say goodbye.
Exactly. That phrase just really bothers me. You don't lose your dignity because you're on your deathbed. You have God values life. So anyway, I'm glad she's putting this off. I hope she changes her mind.
Yeah.
But at least she's putting it off for now.
Yeah.
So be in prayer for her family.
Sure. Well, the next item we've got here is Tim Cook, who is the CEO of Apple, announced earlier this week that he's gay. And it's one of those deals where this is nothing new in our present circumstances, so I really wouldn't have paid any attention to it, except he said something. He didn't stop there. Mm-hmm. He said something that was completely over the top, something that was just mind-blowing. He said that being gay was one of the greatest gifts that God had ever given him. And that's where I said, we can't let that one go without comment.
No, no. Now... People, obviously there's some people who have a proclivity towards homosexuality, like I'm not tempted to do a variety of different things. However, it's their sin nature. It's the flesh. It has nothing to do with God. God does not, he does not tempt. He does not, it's...
Well, it doesn't matter that one person has, an inclination that way and another one doesn't. At the end of the day, it's what does God have to say about that?
And sin, period.
So don't tell me that it's a gift from God.
No.
You can tell me a lot of things.
Jesus died on the cross for that sin as well as every other sin. He hates sin. And I know I'm being called a fearmonger and hate monger and, you know, homophobe, and anybody listening to this who disagree with my
point of view. This is what the scripture teaches.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, if I just wish he would get off of this and focus on actually making a decent Apple product.
Where's Steve Jobs when we need him?
Exactly. Because, you know, come on, dude. You guys are behind. It's like everything you know, we're doing a big screen. Well, guess what? Samsung beat you to it. You're playing catch up. So focus on doing your job. We don't really care about what you do in your bedroom.
Well, we do care if he says that that's a gift from God.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yippee.
It's not like it's like
yippee, another guy says he's gay. Well,
yeah. It's not like
just
I was
don't
sitting
tell
here
us
like
that
wondering,
this is a gift from God.
It's not like I'm sitting here wondering, oh, I wonder what the Apple CEO's sexual orientation is.
No.
I really, you know, I don't care. It won't change how I purchase products. What, you know, but come on. At least do your job well. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're going to need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs.
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640. That's 490-2640. M&A Moving and Hauling, 490-2640. Or online at acoupleofguys.net.
How much joy can fit in a shoebox? More than you think. That's because you can pack a shoebox with toys, school supplies, and hygiene items for a little boy or girl in need. Your simple shoebox gift may be the only gift that child ever receives. Accept the challenge. Get involved this year with Operation Christmas Child and change a child's life forever by showing them the love of Jesus. For more information, visit SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640, and they'll send you a couple of guys. Based off of our discussion last segment on Tim Cook, I just have an announcement I'd like to make. I am proud to be a straight man. Just saying. Just thought I'd get it out there. Brian's like looking at me.
Oh, boy.
Doesn't that sound ridiculous?
So what you're saying is you were never in the closet.
I was never in the closet, no. Yeah,
your public announcement is
I'm sure my wife
is
happy to hear that I'm proud to be a straight man. I am proud to be a straight man. I want to make that abundantly clear. I'm loud and I'm proud. I love my wife. I'm not going to say I love women. I love my wife.
Put the shovel down, buddy. Put the shovel down.
Anyway, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We don't stand up on, hey, I'm proud to be straight. Yay, let's have a straight pride parade. We don't do that, no, because it's ridiculous. People just don't talk about the sexual orientation. We don't need to know that information, period.
Didn't Kevin Jackson, you know, the Black Sphere, he's a guy down in St. Louis, didn't he have some kind of a of a coming out straight day or something.
We should. We should. We need that day. We need, you know what? We need to reclaim the rainbow,
too. I'm straight
too.
And I'm proud.
I am so sick of the rainbow being... The rainbow is God's sign to us that he will not destroy the world again after the flood. I am sick of it being co-opted by the homosexual agenda. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
You just scored points with my pastor because he's always talking about that. This is a covenant sign of God, and these guys have stole it.
Absolutely. So my name is Shane Vanderhart, and I'm a straight American and proud of it. So... Moving on, I can't think of any good segue for that. We have...
That's because there is none.
There is none, yeah.
We have a Quinnipiac poll.
The Quinny poll, yeah. Yes. Brian, how do you think it's pronounced?
Quinnipiac, I think.
I think it's Quinnipiac, but...
Whatever.
Yeah.
Sounds like an Indian tribe to me.
Email me at shane@caffeinatethoughts.com and let us know which one you think is right.
Excuse me, it's indigenous peoples.
If you think Brian's pronunciation of Quinnipiac is right or whatnot, or maybe we're just both off of rockers and completely wrong. But anyway.
Well, there's never any doubt about that.
Anyway, Election Day is Tuesday, and pretty soon we'll have our TVs back. I will get much, 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 much less email. But anyway,
My phone will quit ringing.
Yeah, I could go on a story about that, but we don't have enough time. Anyway, Ernst is ahead 4 points in that latest poll.
In the Q poll.
The Quinny poll. With Loras College, Braley was up by 1 point, and apparently the Reuters poll just came out. I didn't realize that, but they have them tied. Okay, folks, this is obviously a toss-up race. The Loras College poll, I know there's some people who've had some issues with how they're polling, but I'm a little nervous because she was up 6 points in that one poll, in the Loras College poll not that long ago. So I don't think that's a good sign for the Ernst campaign.
Probably not, but she's still strong in the Q poll. So
she still is. But yeah, I know there's probably an oversampling of independents with the Loras College poll. That was a problem with when she was ahead by six. So maybe they're undersampling independents now. I don't know. I think it's too close to call. So nobody should get too excited about. You know, or say nobody really has momentum, I don't think.
Have you looked at Charlie Cook's website lately? I was there a couple of weeks ago or so, but I haven't looked at it since.
No, I haven't. So yeah. I don't know what Mr. Cook has to say about this race.
A couple of weeks ago, he was saying that the Republicans are going to do well, but he didn't see any particular wave.
Yeah.
That was my impression, if I remember right, anyway.
I think it's going to be a good Republican year, but as far, this race is tight as a tick. Who knows?
Tight as a tick.
Exactly.
Our quote of the day is, "We know not what an evil it is to indulge ourselves and to make an idol of our will."
Amen.
Samuel Rutherford.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.